أعوذ بالله من الشيطان العين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at تربية أولاد, the upbringing of children, and we looked briefly at the needs of a child, need gratification. And the first thing I mentioned was touch and how important it was, because that's really the stimulation, the first stimulation that an infant child needs, followed by the words that we say to them. Remember, a child at this stage cannot respond. A child is there responding to the words through his or her emotions or smiles or actions. Now, need gratification, let me try and now expand on it on a greater level and look at it, because it's a very, very important part of the human beings reaching their full potential, or a means for a human being to reach their full potential. We can divide need gratification into four sections. Now, we're still looking at the age range of 0 to 7 years. We can look at the physical, the mental need gratification, the emotional, and the spiritual gratification. But before we even divide these and look at them, the first thing we're going to look at the goal that the human being, the parent of a human being, has before we go to gratify these needs. When a child is born, parents have various aspirations. And it's important to sit down and work out what your aspirations are for your child, because subconsciously and consciously, you'll be working towards them. If I closed my eyes right now and I imagined my child, then, and you asked me, what do you aspire for your child to be? I would immediately tell you that I wish to see my child walk into Jannah. If you told me to look at the micro picture, because that's the macro picture, I would tell you, I'd like to see my child successful in the dunya too, but successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that my child could live according to the dua that I read in my kunut every day, رَبَّنَا عَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَكِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Our Rabb, grant us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Now, if every time I think of my child, I think of that ayah, then consciously and subconsciously, I'll be working towards that. I named my youngest child Asia, simply because when I read about Sayyida Asia, something about her got me, especially her dua, Rabbibni li indaka baytan fil jannah. My Rabb, build for me a house with you in Jannah. For me, that was so important that I actually prayed for a child whom I could name Asia, because I aspire for her to be one who has a house in Jannah. Now, it's important that we have these goals in our mind right from the very beginning, and then we work on from these goals. So let's look at need gratification at all levels. We're going to first look at physical gratification, or the need gratification for the physical human being. And I've started off with touch yesterday. When we look at the rizq, the food that we feed the child, very, very important. Obviously, breastfeeding for the infant, highly recommended. In fact, some ulama consider it wajib. Now, I'm not talking about those people who have problems. Incidentally, if you have problems with breastfeeding, Surah Yasin works wonders. Recite it on water, drink it, recite it, and see the difference it makes. Physical nourishment is amazingly important. The mom too, before you feed your child, before you nurse your child, do wudu. Keep your thoughts calm. And the father plays a very important part here, because he has to provide a conducive environment for his wife to be able to look after his children. So it all builds together. Healthy food. Organic food. I don't need to talk about it, because we hear so much today at the effect of preservatives, at the effect of the junk food that is fed to children. So right from the start, fresh food, not junk food, food that has less preservatives, to make sure that the child's physical gratification, the need gratification, is there at all levels. Now, one of the most important needs that a child has, and I'm now looking at the emotional need, I will just skim over the mental stimulation, because today, especially in this country, we have so many toys, we have so many educational means in which to mentally stimulate our children. The toys that are available are absolutely wonderful, and I don't need to go into them. Those that activate a child's mind into thinking. In fact, if you go out today and look at them, they're just wonderful. All we need to do is slightly tweak them, you know, change the way the toys that are available need a little bit of tweaking, as I said. Now, what does that mean? Let's look at the first toy that normally we find when a child comes home. When a baby comes home, you find this mobile hanging above his or her cot that sort of goes round and has a soothing lullaby on it, or Brahms lullaby is normally the main one that I see played on it. Replace the images on that mobile, maybe with the Asma'ul Husna. Even the very looking of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a different effect on the child. Have colors in the nursery that are conducive to the child. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended looking at the sky to improve your eyesight. It's a soothing thing. A light blue, a light green designates resurrection or spring. It's important to look at all these things. Very bright colors agitate the human being, agitate the child. Mental stimulation is provided by a lot of things. Replace the lullaby, a Brahms lullaby or whatever you have, maybe with a soothing recitation of Quran, and the child will learn to ease whenever he or she is able to listen to Quran. When you have characters such as, I'll give you an example. When my child was young, she liked, for example, Bob the Builder. Now, it's, I think the rhyme or the song that goes behind it is Bob the Builder, can he build it? Something like that. In the same way, you could have Fatima the Quran reciter, can she memorize it? To slightly change the aspect of these things and change them. Again, talking about Bob the Builder, can Bob build a mosque? You know, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam came across a man who was building a house. And in his house, he was putting a window. And Imam said, why have you put that window there? And he said, for fresh air and light and all the questions that you and I, answers that you and I might give to that question. And Imam said, if you were to say, I've put that window there so I can in the morning see the early morning light, so I can wake up to Salah, so that I can hear the voice of Adhan, it will just change the perspective. You will change the way you think. It's a paradigm shift of thinking, even when we relate to the child. I remember my daughter, when she was born, was given a gift by a friend of mine of a camel. And we called that, my friend had come back from Tunisia, and it was a soft, cuddly camel. And we called the camel Kiswa. Now, every time we say Kiswa, she thinks of that camel. And we talk about the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was called Kiswa. Change the way things are done. If you're buying dolls or teddies, you can teach them how to wear abayas and scarves and whatever. Just change the aspect. So you mentally stimulate your child in a way which is positive and conducive towards what you want his or her goal to be. But like I said, one of the main needs that we need to look at is the love of a child, the love that a child needs. You know, Maria Montessori said it is the law of human life, as certain as gravity, to live fully. We must learn to use things and love people, and not love things and use people. That's very important. Prophet Musa alayhi salam once asked Allah, Ya Rab, which deed is best in your eyes? And Allah said, love of children, for I have created them with a natural belief in my unity, and if I grant them death, I will put them mercifully in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once met Uthman bin Mazun, who was hugging his child. And Rasulullah says, is this your child? And Uthman said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet said, do you love him? And he said, yes, I love him. And Rasulullah said, shall I tell you something that will increase your love for your child? And Uthman said, please do. And Rasulullah said, whoever pleases a young offspring of his, Allah shall please him by making the day of judgment pleasant for him. Can you imagine pleasing your child? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Allah may have mercy on a person simply because he loves his child very strongly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a good deed is recorded for one who kisses this child. If he makes this child happy, Allah will make him happy on the day of judgment. And if he teaches the child Quran, the parents of the child will be called on the day of judgment and clothed so brightly that the people of Jannah will see their faces lit with the light emanating from them. You know, there's a man who came to Rasulullah and said, I've never kissed my child. And when the man left, Rasulullah turned to his companion and said, this man is amongst the people of Jahannam. Now what is love? How does this love manifest itself? Well, exactly what I've been saying all this time. If I love my child, I have a goal of success. Let's say, for example, in the physical world, I saw my child walking towards a thorn. A simple thorn. Let's forget a thorn. I remember a few weeks ago, a glass broke in the kitchen. I forbid the children from coming into the kitchen until I could sweep away all the tiny bits of glass. Why? Because I didn't want my child, any of my children, to get hurt. In the same way, if I love my child, I do not want to see my child hurt in the Akhirah. Therefore, I will stop my child, at least try very hard to desist my child from going towards that which will cause him or her hurt in the Akhirah. You know the ayah of Quran that we hear a lot of times, وَإِذَا مَوْعُودَةُ سُعِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. When the newborn child will ask on the day of judgment, for what sin was I killed? Do you know what that refers to? That refers to the time of Jahiliyyah, when daughters were buried. Why were they buried? Fathers buried their daughters because they loved them. It was the tradition that daughters were buried. A father did not want to see his daughter used and abused as he himself used and abused women. So when his child was born, he thought the best thing to do was to put that child under the earth. Now I've said this story many a times, but I repeat it again today to bring us to understand what love is. Those fathers loved their daughters. Let's go back and look at it in story form. Imagine a child being born. Imagine mom saying, please, you don't have to take her now. And the father says, no, it is tradition. And mom says, she's still young. So the dad leaves it for a while. Imagine the child is about 1.5 or 2. Has learned how to walk, has learned how to say her first words. And dad says, it is time. It is our tradition. We must bury her. Mom dresses her up. Father holds her hand and takes her to the village. The child says, are we going to the fun fair? Where are we going? Dad holds her hand and takes her to the village square where there's a lot of people standing around a pit. And they both climb down this pit. And she says, are we playing hide and seek, Papa? He looks at her with tears in his eyes. He climbs out and she says, where are you going? Why are you leaving me here? As the earth pours into her, get into her eyes, she screams out, Ya Abi, and she holds on to his finger. Finally, the screams stop and the hold on his finger loosens. The child is no more. And we do exactly the same. We bury our children under materialism. Why? Because it's custom, it's tradition, because we love them. We think that if we do not accept the values of others, our child will not be accepted. So we bury them in values that are alien to their soul, and we call it love. So these are very important aspects to keep in our mind. Inshallah, we will continue with this aspect of love and how we are to love our children. We'll talk about communication, we'll talk about discipline and the difference between discipline and punishment. We'll talk about feedback, talk about respect, and talk about time.